Welcome to the Botcast, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
Hey, it's Botcast time! We're back after some technical gremlins for the very first Botcast of 2019. Who would have thought, Joe Davis?
I know, right?
You and me would be sat here doing Botcast in 2019.
I know.
When we first started working together in 1962.
When I came to you all those years ago.
Hey, goodness me. That, by the way, was an exaggerated comment on my part. It was actually 63 when Joe and I first met. I've got Cameron with us as well today. How are you doing, Cameron?
I'm very good.
You've been guffawing loudly around the office today.
I have.
I think we should start with this, because what is that you hold in your hand?
Ah, well, I am currently looking at the final edition.
The final edition?
Of the Yellow Pages.
Oh, goodness me. Yes. Did you say, was that or did you say?
No, I went aw, because I think it's a bit sad.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I think when I started working for you in 2005,
yeah,
if I'd said to my mum I was going to work for the Yellow Pages, she'd have thought I had a good, solid job and it was a good career path.
Yes.
Whereas coming to you, who she's got no idea who you are. No idea who you are.
See what you're saying.
Hadn't got a clue.
See what you're saying.
She'd have thought No, but she wouldn't. She's a teacher.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant I'd not got a clue, Joe. I was a little bit offended there, to be honest.
My mum. Okay. She wouldn't have had it.
Well, that's all right then.
They still don't really. In that every time I tried to say what I was doing when I was on my recent holiday, I can hear them listening because they still have no real idea what I do.
Okay.
But either way, she'd have thought I was on a good, solid career path. And you look at even when I moved in 2007, the size of the Yellow Pages I first got, because that's mine, versus what is there now, there's a lot.
Well, so we need to, for the benefit of the audience listening on the podcast.
It's tiny.
It is. I mean, it is. Goodness me, I don't know what there is. I mean, first
of
all, it is.
It's
not much bigger than A5 size. It's considerably smaller than A4. And it has got, I'm just looking through, the other pages are numbered. It has 128 pages of, and the paper is the same as it was. It's the kind of very thin kind of tissuey paper. But that's not, surely, we were saying, a long time ago, Joe, like when the Best Of was up and running in 2006 and 2007, I remember going to a big Yell conference, an international conference in Colorado, it would have been 2007. And I remember then, because just to be clear, Yell is just a company. There are different iterations of Yellow Pages all around the world. And this was all the different organizations coming together. And I do remember coming up from that conference and being absolutely certain, and I told anybody that would listen, that the Yellow Pages are dying. Mm-hmm. And it does appear that was a real genuine prophecy. So what's made you laugh?
Well, I mean, nowhere is that clear than in the final edition of the Birmingham Central Yellow Pages.
So this is Birmingham Central.
This is the Birmingham Central
edition for the
The second largest one in the country.
Yes.
Which is even more depressing when you look at it. So I mean, first of all, you could quite easily rip it in half. No longer is it an impressive feat
anymore.
No, that's true, okay.
To tear this thing in half, because it is so small. Mm-hmm. But then when you actually get into it, it's even worse, because actually, when you look at it, about half the real estate of the book is taken up with either Yell advertising their own stuff.
Oh, that's true. Look at this, goodness
me. I mean, there's a page here where about 3/4 of it are just Yell ads.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
But then
goodness
you get to
me.
Further into the book, yeah. And they've even given up on that.
It is actually really interesting.
They have a load of these make a note boxes. So there's three on this page, which is just a blank white square, which say make a note in case you ever wanted to write a note about your
page.
Local funeral professionals.
Goodness me.
But the bit that I was laughing at
tremendously,
that everyone was
Do
looking at.
Do tell us, because we brought you onto the podcast for your comedy value.
Well, here you go.
Okay.
Is when you turn, I don't know if you at home have a copy of the Birmingham Central Final Edition Yellow Pages.
The answer's going to be no. And don't forget, our three listeners all listen while they're driving.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there we go. Pull over and have a look. But on page 105 is a wonderful title page introducing the restaurant section of the Yellow Pages. It's a full page. It says restaurants. It's a nice picture of a nice salad.
So what do you expect to see on the next page, Nigel?
So, okay, well, because I've not seen this. So this is indeed, I'll try and describe this. This is a full page and it says restaurants.
It's the introduction.
And there is a picture
section.
Of what looks like it's a.
It's like a lovely.
No, what do you call
salad,
that?
It's a mozzarella.
Tomato mozzarella. It's a caprese, isn't it? That's what it is, with some nice little basilis there.
So
I turn the page. And
right here, in the top left, is the one and only restaurant.
In Birmingham Central?
So in the centre of Birmingham, there is only one restaurant, the Divan Restaurant and Takeaway. Traditional Indian Balti cuisine. Bring your own drinks. Free local delivery for the Divan Balti in Moseley. Is it a good place, Joe?
Well, I did just have to Google it because I'd have been fairly certain they've shut down, but apparently they still exist.
Okay.
That this entire section, it has its own cover page in the yellow pages for one ad, which isn't even, it's not even a quarter size ad. It's literally the smallest possible text-only ad.
It's smaller than
the yellow pages do.
It's smaller than a business card, isn't it? That is quite funny. But you're right, I'm looking at this now. Every single page has on it at least one and usually three or four ads for yellow pages, effectively.
Feeling for the drain guy as well.
Oh, goodness me. It is a shame. I mean, goodness, go on.
Well, there's one guy in here, actually, who comes
just
up.
One guy.
He must have had a really good deal. Because there's one plumber's. This emergency drain clearance guy, who is the proud owner of the inside front cover, the inside back cover.
Yeah.
He has three full page ads, two half page ads, and a couple of three quarter.
I mean, in fairness, that's still the that's the place that's the business category and type that is still going to benefit from this. So there we go then. So all a bit sad really. The yellow pages have died.
Yes.
Let's talk about something.
I was going to say the last one's been printed as well. I think that was just last week.
The last one ever. Yes, it was. You're right, Joe. What's that? Another. You know, it's like Ricketts. Love, it's gone forever.
It is gone.
What was Ricketts?
I think it's coming back.
Is it?
Yeah.
And it will be.
Yeah. In the diets that we have.
Stupid. Well, no, I think it'll be stupid people not taking their. Not jabbing their babies, won't it? That'll be the problem.
I think it's vitamin deficiency, Ricketts.
Just bringing you all the latest.
in the disease.
Health and well-being on the podcast. I've got four things I want to talk about today. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I've got three of them are stories.
Lovely.
Can I tell you a story, Joe?
Go on.
Can I tell you the story of... I'll give you a choice. Okay. Do you want a story about upsells...
Mm-hmm.
Do you want a story about turning defeat into victory? Or do you want a story about a step change in a business?
Let's go with defeat to victory.
Defeat to victory. Okay, this is ECHQ calling Milton Keynes. Raj Diokka, do you read me? Over. Raj, I love Raj. Apart from the fact that he is a fellow Tesla driver and all Tesla drivers love each other. Raj... He is the proud proprietor of three beauty salons in Milton Keynes. And Raj and his wife Anita, after whom the salons are named, invested a lot of money. It was about a 70 grand investment in the last part of 2018 in the very, very latest, most progressive laser hair removal. Fancy any of that, Cam? Bit of laser hair removal?
Depends what kind of laser it is, I guess.
Oh, does it? As opposed to what kind of hair it would remove.
Well, there you go.
I mean, apparently, you know, there's a big demand for people like to have their hairs removed by laser. I'm not going to ask Joe, be impolite of me to do so. So 70 grand investment. And so Raj ran a competition on Facebook for a full course of this to do you could be hair free. Not quite forever, but for a long time. It's like about, I mean, you're in for like 12 grand. I mean, it's a non-trivial. You're lasered a lot. Mm. But obviously you can have little bits lasered. You could just have your lip lasered or your, whatever it might be that you want to have done on you. Anyway, we won't speculate on which particular parts of the body the laser removal machine could work on. But Raj ran his competition on Facebook using the very well-established, tried and tested methodology, Cameron, that you and I have both spoken about and taught
many,
and shared with people. And it worked very well for Raj. He had many, many hundreds. I forget, I'm making the number up now. But, I mean, it was into four figures of people that entered his competition. And he got all the details, which is great.
Mm.
And so his plan then was obviously the classic approach of the competition is there is a winner and someone won the kind of £10,000 of the treatments. But then everyone else that entered got the communication from Ryan to congratulations, you've won one of our runners-up prizes. Mm-hmm. And the runners-up prize was it was an initial treatment, which was worth like 100 quid or something, so it was a decent mm-hmm. prize. But what Raj did was ask them in the email, you've won the prize, but ring this number to book it. You have to book it before the, I think it was like the 15th of January, but you can have it any time before the end of March. Mm-hmm. So he's done it all on deadline, done it all right, but the mistake he made, he's ringing you ring up to book, he was, and it said this in the email that they got, they'd have to pay a deposit, like a £40-50 deposit. And as a consequence of this, he was very disappointed with the response that he got from his runners-up. He only had a couple of dozen people ringing to book. Now, the average spend on this machine is about £1,000 that people actually, the average spend about £1,000 on a course of treatments that runs out over 7 or 8 months. And Raj was very keen. The goal he'd set himself was to get £70,000 worth of orders by the end of January so that the machine would have been paid for in its first month. It's going to run. It's going to last him 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. So there's loads. The methodology was right. But, and he would be the first to tell you, he made a mistake by requiring winners of the competition to pay a deposit. And he was in danger of not only getting a poor response overall to his competition, but actually in generating, or not generating some bad will, but losing a lot of goodwill because people are like, it's not quite right. It's in fact settled easy. But Raj, very, very, what Raj is very good at is what I call accurate thinking. And so he saw that this was happening quite early on. He knew there was a problem. And Raj is in one of my mastermind groups now, and he brought this to me. And so he and I had a little chat, and I dictated to him, you know, just on his phone, just recorded it. I wasn't standing there saying, no, Raj, but that wasn't that sort of dictation. It was an auditory. And it was recorded. And long story, Raj polished it and tweaked it and put it into his style, but he sent a note out effectively saying, these were not the words, but effectively saying, hey, look, we've messed up here. You've won this prize. You know, it isn't, you don't need to pay a deposit. Come on in. Because the loss to him, if he will have some no-shows, but he's better off having 100 appointments and he gets 10 or 15 no-shows than he is having 20 appointments and everyone turns up. And that's what's happened. In like 72 hours from putting the email out to the deadline, literally ballooned it way into three figures. It's amazing. So he's now got a realistic chance. So I've got to get all these appointments coming through, but there is a real chance that he will get effectively have paid back this entire 70 grand of the machine within its first month. And it's happened because he's snatched victory, Joe, mm-hmm. from the jaws of defeat because he was able to, first of all, he was paying attention to what was happening. He didn't just write his campaign and let it run. He was paying attention to it, and he was smart enough to be able to recognise that he needed to take some action. He did the right thing, and it worked through. And I just thought it's worth sharing because so many of us, I mean, I'm guilty of it myself. You know, we write a campaign, and in the past I've done it less so now because I've got you two looking after me and over my shoulder. But and a lot of people there would just let it run. And his ability to kind of pivot and change in the campaign, in the moment, having seen what's happening and being able to look at what's happening accurately, it's quite a big deal.
It's about paying attention.
So I wanted to share that. And also not being, because, you know, effectively, he was saying, like, sorry, I've goofed here. And that's that can be quite a hard thing for people to do sometimes. Yeah, actually, when you do it, you know, I think he's actually, not only has he not lost goodwill in a way that he was in danger of doing, but he's actually gained a lot more because people think a lot more of you when you're able to be honest and upfront about it. So it was a decent little shout. But and again, that another reminder, those Facebook competitions work really, really well.
Tremendously, yeah.
Especially in B2C businesses, although not only in that market. So that was me, victory to defeat. Cross that off my list. Mm-hmm. Probably heard my pen going there. That's right. That's gone. Okay, so do you want then an upsell story?
Come and choose this time.
Upsell.
Or shall we talk about the two? Yeah. Okay, let's do upsell. This is you'll be familiar, Cam, with what's happening this weekend.
Ugh.
Do you want to?
What's that response?
Yep. Okay. Then now everyone understand now. So Cameron, why don't you tell our three listeners who are all driving at the moment What is happening this weekend?
Well, this weekend is my sister's 18th birthday party.
Yeah.
Which is being held in our garden.
Yep.
In a marquee.
Yeah.
Where, you know, 70 to 80 youths will descend in a drunken fashion. And just, I'm just not looking forward to it, to be honest with you.
Oh, but you're going to be there to participate and support your sister?
I might watch from a locked window.
Actually, we should tell the funny story, actually, of the, which party was it when we had Fabian on?
It was her last one.
Was it really? Was it a 16th birthday party? No, that can't, anyway. It might have been.
It was her party.
Okay.
Because of the state she ended up in.
We had, steady on.
You're
steady on. So it's Tabitha, I don't know where the years have gone, many people to relate to this, but my little princess is 18, I just don't know, I blinked and it happened. But, so we've got a big party at the weekend, and it's a big team effort. Cameron, obviously, there, is going to be supporting his sister in an appropriate manner. Matt, the butler's running the bar. Yeah, he is. I've got security coming to take care of everything, so it'll be, I won't have to worry too much. But, and Mark Hammond, who many of you will know, a long-standing EC member, and the proud proprietor of...
Abacus,
thank you very much. Abacus Marquise. And so Mark has supplied the very splendid erection that's gone up in our garden for Saturday night. And he has given me, and in particular, because he's dealt with Sue, because Sue's taking care of all the party planning, etc. It's not really my bag. And but Mark has given a masterclass on upselling. Because this wasn't going to be a really grand event. And again, I may not do the story justice, but there's a lesson in this, okay? Because, I mean, when Sue, I said, look, I ought to give Mark the chance to quote, he's a member of EC, so he may not want to do it because we're a bit off his patch. Mm-hmm. But I'm also aware that it's in January, so it's not his busiest time of the year, so he might appreciate a little bit of business. So at least let's give him the chance. So so I said, I'd like to Mark, are you interested? Yeah, I'll certainly have a look at it. So he spoke with Sue. And Sue spoke to a couple of other local companies as well about the marquee. And she got three prices. And Mark's was the most expensive price, albeit not by a huge amount, but by a few £100s. It was a more expensive price. And it was really, really interesting. And I was all set to, I'd be happy to spend, because I know they'll do a good job, it won't let me down. And one of the guy that gave the cheapest price, there was a reason, Joe, why it was the cheapest price. Okay, because there was an important element missing from the spec.
Was it putting it up?
No. I got this. No, it wasn't that.
That'd be problematic.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Come on, Cam, we've got to get up early today and put up a marquee. So it wasn't putting up the marquee. No, it was heating it, Joe. Can you imagine?
That's in January as well,
this party is happening in January. And this guy generally said, oh no, once you get all the bodies in there, it'll soon warm up. It won't. It's a marquee.
Eighteen-year-old girls won't be dressed.
But it has like no thermal properties whatsoever. Its insulation is it's almost non-existent. Its insulation is as thin as a Yellow Pages in 2019. so we write him off because he genuinely tried to blagged this guy that to Sue that she wouldn't need heaters. Oh, that's just ridiculous. Anyway, so we agreed that we would go with Mark. So that's great. So Mark's, well, that's cool. I'm coming up for this was back last year. So I'm coming up for the national event. I'll come a couple of hours early and I'll do a proper little survey and we'll work it all out. So he comes and does a little survey. And this is where he's just bloody genius, this really. And I take my hat off to Mark Hammond. And because he's, I can't remember the precise prices, but he's basically taken a couple of £1,000 more from me than his original quote. And it's almost a pleasure to pay it to him, to be honest, with such finesse and skill has he extracted this couple of grand from my wallet. And he's done it by, it happened first when he came on the site survey. So he's looking at the site and he starts talking to Sue and Tabitha about how some lovely, I forget what you call it, chains of lights that he could hang across the patio on the way down to the marquee, how lovely they'd look. It would enable people to use the patio.
Very fashionable.
I think he may have said the words, like you saw in the film Mamma Mia. I think, which may have swung it, you know, so that worked. I'm thinking of the other elements. Oh, I wish Sue was here now so I could give you the full lowdown on all the different bits. Definitely the chain of things that was there. Oh, I know. There was another heater outside. There's another heater going outside on the patio. So that, not so much smoke, but they're just, anyway, yeah, we can spread a little bit. That was all kind of work in there. That was another little upsell that's happened. He's got a, we were just going to, I'm trying to do this on a, it's the balance, isn't it? You don't do a decent job, but I don't want to be too over lavish. And so we were going to have the drinks, we're providing all the drinks so that there's no money changing hands. And we were just seeing the drinks being on tables. So, but he said, well, I could have on tables, but I've got this lovely bar. And because he shows the picture of the bar, and the bar looks lovely, and that's another whatever it is, 300 or 400 quid's gone in there. And then there's the dance floor. Well, I mean, do you want the standard dance floor? That's not what he said. He did it much better than this, because obviously, but there is this dance floor, which, and of course, then.
I bet it'll look great on Instagram.
All these things. And it was just brilliant. And not at any point, and Sue would tell this story but much better than I am doing now, but not at any point did she feel she was being sold to. Every single thing that Mark suggested, it felt like he genuinely wanted to make the event better. Mm-hmm. You know, and there were a few things that he mentioned that Sue backed off from, and he didn't pursue them, he didn't obsess. It was an absolute genuine kind of masterclass in upselling. And I ought to get him on the podcast sometime, actually, and talk us through, because he did it very, very, very well. And genuinely, his final invoice is, in round numbers, a couple of grand more than the quote that he gave us. And his quote already was more than the other people's quotes, but he's extracted the business. And I've got confidence in him. I know he won't let us down. I trust him to do it and to make it work. And it's worthy because he has got a process. He may not realise it himself, although I'll give him credit. I presume he does realise it himself. But he has a process for selling. Mm-hmm. And it is about, you know, because his quote got him in the door, and then he made it better. And that's, you know, he's not the only business to do that. Many do it. But, you know, it's worthy of thought, because I think we're all guilty of kind of leaving money on the table. And it's not about us being, it's not about us, actually. It's about our customers, because Tabitha's party, despite what Cameron thinks, will be better on Saturday night because of the enhancements that Mark has made. So that was me. That's my second little story.
Good story.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Cam.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I was more curious as to what you said about Fabian, but is that not podcast-worthy story?
No, I can tell you this. So this was a party which was in a marquee. I'm not sure. Well, I think it was longer ago than this, because Fabian's 12 now, and I think this one he was about 8 or 9. So, I mean, there is a chance. I'm not going to have the discussion now, Joe, but there is a chance this could have been Cameron's 18th. I don't think it was.
It wasn't.
But there is a possibility. So this party's going outside. And in fact, actually now, Cameron, annoyingly, I think Cameron's right. It probably was 2 years ago, and it was Tabitha's 16th birthday party. And so there's a party on outside, and it's full of 16-year-old girls and with a few boys. And Fabian's too young to go out there, but actually, when you are 10, the prospect of there being hordes of 16-year-olds, girls or boys, frankly, out on the patio is very, very interesting. And he's got a friend as Fabian who's very into the military, wants to join the army, actually wants to be in the SAS, does Ben. And so we had some friends around, Ben's parents came around as well. And so we're having kind of dinner inside. The party's outside, it's completely self-contained, so no one's coming anywhere near my house. We're having dinner, so I gave the boys a mission. I said, you go upstairs into your bedroom, Fabian, turn the lights off so it's black and you'll be able to see outside. I said, and you keep a log for me of what is going on. So we had a few different codes, Cameron. Can you remember the codes that we had?
Well, yes. We had a couple different ones. Yeah. I helped coordinate the team.
Yeah.
So one of the big rules for the party
was
not to let people past a certain point in the garden.
Yes.
So
because the our garden's quite a big garden. And I didn't want people going down towards where my swimming pool building is, and there's all sorts of stuff facilities on the back, tennis courts and stuff like that. And I wanted them to keep them in close proximity so I could manage them, because they're 16 years old and so what's going on. So we'd put some kind of barriers and temporary kind of fencing up, and people were not meant to break that. Anyone breaks that, there was a code for that. That we had
code red.
Code red was breaching the piece there, and we had code brown.
Code brown.
Code brown was anybody caught, when people were using the portaloos, that was Code Brown. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
isn't that what they were meant to do?
I mean, doing something they shouldn't have been doing to the porters. That's a better indication of what Code Brown was. Okay. You were allowed to go to the toilet and
not be. But they were logging it all. So and honestly, you see this log at this party, it was brilliant. You know, everything was logged 7-Eleven.
My favourite log was, it was like 10-12. Girl acting mysteriously with wine bottle. And she's like walking around cradling this bottle.
Yes.
And the boy's just... She was up to something.
10-12, you know, Code Brown. Boy goes into Portaloo. And then, but then suddenly there's this big rush downstairs. And Count Fabian and his friend Ben coming, Code Red, Code Red! Someone had breached the fence. So we were down the garden in a flash. Sorting the issues, not a great story. Anyway, that's where we go. So this weekend, let's hope it all goes well.
Not too many Code Browns.
Can't about it. Yes. So it's interesting, really, because you're going to be there this weekend, Cameron, at your sister's birthday party. And you're there because it's what you should be doing.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. And that's why you're going to be there. And we were chatting in Mastermind. We had a couple of great kickoff meetings for Mastermind this year. And my good friend Martin Norbury, as ever, is in Mastermind with me. He helps me to run Mastermind. He and I have very complementary kind of sets of skills and experience, and Mastermind is much stronger with the two of us than it would be with either of us on our own. And Martin brought up a really, really interesting point. In fact, I wrote my lead article for the circular, the February circular, about this exact thing. Because he said there's only really two questions that a business owner needs to ask him or herself. And question number one is, what should I be doing with my time? And it's interesting to actually reflect on that before I tell you what question two is. Because, and any of you that were at Villa Park with me in January at the Super Successful Entrepreneurs Operating System will know we spent a lot of time focusing on this. There are really only five things in business that you, as a business owner, should be spending your time in. It's where all the value comes from. Yet they are five things that so many people spend precious little time on. But your ability to discern and understand and think accurately about the two things that you should be doing and understand what should you be doing with your time, and at least understand where your time should be being spent, though your answer to that question will have a huge disproportionate impact on where your business ends up. And the second question, therefore, then says, well, what's stopping you? Because as business owners, we are all our own bosses. You know, at the end of the day, you know, if we dick about or toss off for a day or whatever, even don't come in for a day, or most likely what happens is we turn up for work, but we're kind of there in body, but not in spirit. And we know we're not being productive. We had someone in Mastermind confess to having got very good at solitaire last year. We forgave him because he had actually sold it. Well, he sold his business, though, in a decent seven-figure settlement. And by his own admission, for 6 months, he said, I just got very lazy, which we all kind of understand. I did point out that the world's moved on a little bit, really, from solitaire, hasn't it? There's probably more exciting ways to waste your time, if that's what you want to do. But those two key questions, what should I be doing with my time? And what's stopping me are probably the two big takeaways from this month's podcast that I'd like to leave you with. We've got some you've got some big stuff happening in February, Cam. Big campaigns.
Yes.
Okay. It's this is like a podcast. It's a conversational piece. So not an interrogation.
Yes. No. We have many marketing campaigns. No.
The Facebook Messenger one's going to be really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it will. It will be interesting. Hopefully it goes as well as I think it will.
All three of our listeners to the podcast, who are all driving whilst they're listening to this, but they've all got unlimited passes.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I think the one of the highlights, really, of our whole programme this year is the proper implementation journey that you and Joe are running on using Facebook Messenger. Because we've spoken a lot about Messenger from the stage at our big national event last year and in other places, but we've never properly, I know we've run courses on it before where you come for a day and you learn lots of stuff, but this is a proper implementation journey where over 8 weeks, you actually, with there's interactions each week, it's all done from, you don't have to go anywhere and travel, it's all done by the live stream, but you're going to actually enable people and help them to actually use Facebook Messenger and the chatbots, etc., and get it implemented in their business. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be so useful and so helpful to so many people. And that's what I was hoping you were going to say. But anyway.
You did it so eloquently.
I've got your back, honestly. Next month's podcast, we'll have no guests. Nigel will just do it all by himself. So it's going to be interesting because, I mean, even the, I know we've put some chatbots campaigns, which they're quite, at one level, they're quite complex, aren't they? Because when you start having conversations with the chatbots, you need to map out all possible kind of, so these little spider diagrams go off in all sorts of levels. Mm-hmm. But whilst on the face of it, if you see a sheet, it can look hugely complex. In actual fact, it's very straightforward to do, isn't it?
Once you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's relatively simple.
So, and that's why I think it's going to make such a big impact, because it's like a lot of the best things in business and in life to some extent. But when you know, simple things done well look good. And right now, having, you know, using Messenger properly, having the right bot set up, make a big, big difference. And that implementation journey will have a big impact for lots of businesses. If you haven't, if you're listening to this in your car, you need to send a little text to yourself send yourself a little audio message to remind yourself to register for that proper implementation journey. Can be great as well, by the way, for your staff. Good one to delegate this, isn't it? And get staff
involved. The use of
Messenger
and things like that is only going to get more and more over the next couple of years. It's the first thing. My brother, in his own words, has lived in the wilderness for 15 years and has just come home from China. And the first thing that I've done for him is make sure that he's set up with a Facebook account that he won't use, but a Messenger account that he will use, and then WhatsApp as well.
Yeah.
Because he's, in his own words, it's like coming back from a prison sentence. He's coming back into a world that where stuff is different here.
Because on when we're using Facebook Messenger, our open rates, Cam, are really high.
I don't think we've ever sent a broadcast on Messenger that's had less than 80% open rates.
Yeah.
I think our best, I mean, we've done little ones, which obviously get 100%, because when you only send to 50-odd people, that's fine. But even if you send an email nowadays to 50 people,
yeah, well, that's true,
100% open rate, forget about it,
yeah.
even with a small list like that. But, I mean, 97, 96% open rates are not uncommon.
And it's also, at the moment, it's very underutilized by businesses,
mm-hmm.
and that will change. But there are big prizes here for kind of early adopters.
We get a good response rate on ours as well.
Yes.
That's
the next point I was going to make. So it's not just open rate, it's then kind of click-through mm-hmm. and response rate, which is also really high. I mean, we see, you know, click-throughs and response rates of 40%+.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that, you know, so you've got, let's just, you know, being conservative, you get 80% open rate and a 40% click-through. I mean, that's just insane. Whereas you compare that to email, where, I mean, even our best emails now struggle to get out of the 20s, and we're good at this stuff, you know. And the average, the DMA will tell you that the average open rate on emails now is hovering around 10%, you know, which is a massive fall off from where it was just 2 or 3 years ago. So you compare 80% open rate with 10% open rate, and you compare 40% click-through with 1 or 2%?
One. And the average is 1.2%
click-through. Yeah. So you've got numbers there that are game-changing for a business. And you know, there are lots of businesses where this will have a significant impact. It also moves you into a space where you've eliminated the competition. So the customer, the prospect, is only communicating with you because your competition are not in that space. So you're in a competitive vacuum, which is a great place to be. So it's a really cool thing to do. So well, that's coming up, and I would encourage you to get involved in that. That's not a pitch, sir, because you know this proper implementation journey is all free. It's included as part of your unlimited pass, and it will add great value to your business.
Mm.
So final story then.
Go on.
Okay, and final story. I just want to talk about and recognise my good friend Gavin Page. And when I first came across Gavin, which is over 2 years ago now, Gavin runs a really good business called Manchester Printers, which, guess what they do, Joe?
Ballet. Honestly. It's just in that picture in Gavin as well. That was just like the least likely thing.
Oh my God. Now that's one of those things that you can't unsee in your mind. Gavin Page in a tutu. Right, Manchester Printers is a printers based in Manchester, Joe. And Gavin has grown his business hugely. I think when he first arrived at EC, I think we need to get him on EC Changed My Life, because he was doing $300,000 or $400,000 a year. He's done about 1.3 in the last 12 months. But towards the end, so that's big growth in itself. And that's just because what Gavin's been great at is implementation. Gavin's very, very good. He listens and he pays attention, but he goes back to the office and he implements and he executes. Gavin is very well aware of what he should be spending his time doing, and he's got pretty good at doing that. Because it's not just knowing the answer to the question, it's then doing it, isn't it? And that's given him really significant growth, made a big, big difference to his business and indeed to his own kind of personal situation. But Gavin got the chance, and this has been public knowledge now. But long story, Gavin came across an opportunity in the second half of last year to acquire a print management business. Long established business, the details don't matter. But he was able to acquire this business and he did a very, very good deal. But this business will, he's going to bring in, I think the business is about $800,000. So even if he just doesn't grow his Manchester Printers and just keeps the business, he's going to now be a £2 million business this year, as it were. But he's used that other business and the reason I'm talking about it now, I got a message from him this morning. Because he's landed a very significant, it's a £250,000 contract. £250,000 a year, and he's got a 3-year contract. It's huge. And he's only got this because of his acquisition. And what's happening, what Gavin's now experiencing, because Gavin's kind of broken through, and he's gone from being a very decent kind of lifestyle, good business as it was, but he's now broken through, and he's now got all the, this is now a great business now. Out of all of the work that he's acquired, that the business he's acquired does, can now be printed by Manchester Printers. So he'll get it, it's just going to work really, really well for him. And he's not the only one. I've got right now 3 masterminders who are currently active about to make acquisitions and growing by acquisition. And they're doing it because they understand their businesses well enough and the right levers to pull and what needs to happen. I just want to kind of float it out there that, a lot of people naturally think that they can't do things, that they can't expand, I'll never get to, I'll never be a £2 or a £3 or a £4 million business. But actually, so many of our limitations only exist in our own heads. They're what people have told us or what we've made up ourselves. Sometimes it's a confidence issue, but it's just ourselves telling it to us. Sometimes people just lie to us and say we can't do stuff, but it's not true. But this gap, if you can imagine, we've got these. Imagine yourself kind of boxed in into a room that was. Imagine if this was a limit of our life in this little room now, and actually there's a whole world out there, and so many people have put these false kind of walls around themselves. And Gavin's liberated himself from that, and I want that to be my little final message on the podcast, really, is that as we, we're already moving into 2019, the nights are starting to pull out, spring is only around the corner, but the ability for each of you to move your business to a place where it really can fulfill the lifestyle goals and dreams that you have. The biggest limitation in making that happen is what's going on in your head and what you're telling yourself. And I'm on a little mission to rid people of false limitations. Okay, so that's what this is about. False limitations, Cam.
Wow.
Profound stuff, eh?
Deep, very deep.
I think so. That's what we should finish, I think, shouldn't it? I mean, you've been just, gosh, hardly got a word in today, Cameron. You've been so, so.
It's been a story session.
Yes, okay.
I'm listening to the stories. Next time, I'll bring my own stories.
Oh, really? Oh, we look forward to that. Okay. Is that a threat or a promise? Okay, well, listen, that's we're out of time, though. The CD is full. James is up next with his Nige's notes. Joe's off to do some knitting.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron's going to choose his best party outfit for Saturday night.
You're going to put a nice shirt on. This is a conversation I had to have with my brother for my mum's 70th. He wouldn't put a nice shirt on.
Okay, that seems a bit disrespectful.
Exactly, for parties.
Yeah, no, I agree.
He insisted the T-shirt he'd been wearing to watch the football was clean on that morning and he was fine.
Okay, yeah, that's a little bit harsh. Yeah. Well, they're talking of nice shirts, Joe. Don't forget, I saw that post that that Mr. Goss retweeted.
I was replied to and retweeted by Matt Goss, the Matt Goss.
Yeah. Where does that fit in terms of lifetime achievements? Is that in the top 10?
Well, look, they can't see me. I'm going.
Yes, yeah. So yes, well, we'll save that tale for another time, shall we? But Joe and Matt Goss, honestly, that there's
we're
a rumor.
Now.
There's a rumor going around this office. That's for sure. Hey, listen, thanks for being with us on the podcast this week. Drive safely to your destination, and stay focused on the things that you should be doing in your business, and be very conscious of the things that are stopping you. Till next time, bye bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the podcast from the Entrepreneurs Circle, featuring Nigel Bottrell.